friends. Are you ready to start? My name is Jaina. Our first program, Let's Read the Bible, will help us to listen to His words and teach us how to read on our own time. And we have a new devotional program for teens called Unlocked. Our next program, Children's Bible Drama, and last but not least, Daily Devotional, will wrap up the broadcast. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I'm the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. Jewish people think that Abraham is their ancestor. Arabs think this way as well. However, the New Testament explains that Abraham is the father of all those who are believers. In today's passage, Romans chapter 4, it records this subject very well. Abraham was a man who was recognized as righteous by God. However, it was not because of his actions. Abraham just believed in God, and God considered him as a righteous man. Because of this reason, Abraham could not boast of his righteousness. He couldn't boast by saying, "God considered me as righteous because I did this and this." If God does not consider the sins of those with sins and flaws because of the fact that they have faith, then they are extremely blessed. However, in Romans, it asks whether Abraham was considered righteous before or after he was circumcised. What do you think? Do you think Abraham was recognized as righteous before or after he was circumcised? That's right. Abraham believed in God before he was circumcised, and God considered him as righteous. Because of this, Abraham is not only the father to the Jews that were circumcised, but he is also the father of those that were credited as righteous by God, even though they were not circumcised. Abraham, who was considered righteous through faith by God, lived a righteous life. He lived a faithful life in God. God does not consider our sins and make us righteous because of our actions, despite the fact that we are sinful. Instead, it is because of the merciful grace of God that we can call our faith righteous. But despite all these things, it does not mean that God will ignore our sins. God made Jesus, who was sinless, pay the price of our sins by dying on the cross. God considers those who believe in this fact as righteous, and due to this fact, we must live a righteous life. In any situation, we must live by our faith in God. That is what a righteous life is. I hope that we can all live this righteous life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving our sins because of our faith instead of our actions and considering us as righteous. Please guide us so that we can live, think, and act by believing in you. In the name of Jesus we pray, Amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Elia E. from California will read the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Elliot Yee. I'm 14 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 4 from verses 1 through 25. Let's read the Bible. What should we say about these things? What did Abraham, the father of our people, discover about being right with God? Did he become right with God because of something he did? If so, he could brag about it. But he couldn't brag to God. What do we find in Scripture? It says Abraham believed God. God accepted Abraham's faith, and so his faith made him right with God. When a person works, their pay is not considered a gift. It is owed to them. But things are different with God. He makes ungodly people right with himself. If people trust in him, their faith is accepted, even though they do not work. Their faith makes them right with God. King David says the same thing. He tells us how blessed people are when God makes them right with himself. They are blessed because they don't have to do anything in return. David says, "Blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven. Blessed are those whose sins are taken away. Blessed is the person whose sin the Lord never counts against them." Is that blessing only for those who are circumcised? Or is it also for those who are not circumcised? We have been saying that God accepted Abraham's faith, so his faith made him right with God. When did it happen? Was it after Abraham was circumcised? Or before? It was before he was circumcised, not after. He was circumcised as a sign of the covenant God had made with him. It showed that his faith had made him right with God before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the father of all believers who have not been circumcised. God accepts their faith, so their faith makes them right with him. And Abraham is the father of those who are circumcised and believe. So just being circumcised is not enough. Those who are circumcised must also follow the steps of our father Abraham. He had faith before he was circumcised. Abraham and his family received a promise. God promised that Abraham would receive the world. It would not come to him because he obeyed the law. It would come because of his faith, which made him right with God. Do those who depend on the law receive the promise? If they do, faith would mean nothing. God's promise would be worthless. The law brings God's anger. Where there is no law, the law can't be broken. The promise is based on God's grace. The promise comes by faith. All of Abraham's children would certainly receive the promise, and it is not only for those who are ruled by the law. Those who have the same faith that Abraham had are also included. He is the father of us all. It is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God considers Abraham to be our father. The God that Abraham believed in gives life to the dead. Abraham's God also creates things that did not exist before. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham believed because he had hope. He became the father of many nations exactly as God had promised. God said, "That is how many children you will have." Abraham did not become weak in his faith. He accepted the fact that he was past the time when he could have children. At that time, Abraham was about 100 years old. He also realized that Sarah was too old to have children. But Abraham kept believing in God's promise. He became strong in his faith. He gave glory to God. He was absolutely sure that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's why God accepted Abraham, because he believed. So his faith made him right with God. The words, God accepted Abraham's faith, were written not only for Abraham. They were written also for us. We believe in the God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God will accept our faith and make us right with himself. Jesus was handed over to die for our sins. He was raised to life in order to make us right with God. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to read about Abraham's faith today. I pray like just like Abraham, even though he was of old age, he trusted and believed in you. He had faith that you would give him the children you had promised. And I pray that we would have the same faith as Abraham, and that we would have the assurance that you, Lord, raised Jesus from the dead. And I also pray that we will accept our faith and make ourselves right with you, Lord. And I thank you once again. And in your son's name, amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the His holy name.
when my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name.
Following is a program, Unlocked Part 1, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries.
How was Jesus humiliated? Why was he willing to be humiliated for us? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. There's an idea of the oh no seconds, the time when you realize you made a mistake and say, oh no. That is a time that's usually considered to be embarrassing, and Becca Weirwell, the author of today's devotion, has a story about an oh no second in today's devotion called Humbling Ourselves. A few summers ago, my husband and I were invited to an outdoor wedding. The reception was in a barn, and the summer humidity was at full strength, so we assumed attire would be casual. I wore a sundress, and my husband wore a polo shirt and khakis. We were wrong about the dress code. Evening gowns and tuxedos surrounded us. Our outfits were the one sore spot at a black tie wedding. It was humiliating. No one likes to be humiliated, but we are called to live in humility. And the word humility comes from the same root as humiliation. Jesus wasn't afraid to risk humiliation. Because he loves us so much, he became human and died a humiliating death on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins. His humility led to his victory over sin and death when he resurrected from the dead, securing our resurrection when he returns to restore creation and right every wrong. Until that day, because sin and brokenness have corrupted God's good world, we live in a state of division. We live polarized from our fellow humans. Many of us find it challenging to engage in conversations with people who come from different backgrounds or who have different experiences. But how can we love others if we can't humble ourselves enough to listen to what they have to say? How can we seek justice if we are too afraid to risk humiliation? Humbling ourselves starts with knowing we need Jesus, no more or less than others do. Scripture illustrates how humility is necessary for healing. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God gives Solomon 4 steps for leading the land toward healing: humility, prayer, seeking God's face, and turning from wickedness. This call for humility is not an isolated suggestion. In Micah 6 verse 8, the prophet Micah tells the people to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We humble ourselves so God's grace may prevail, and His grace to us can overflow to others. We humble ourselves by setting aside our own opinions and desires long enough to listen well and love others. If we want to see healing and reconciliation in our world, we can't be afraid to follow Jesus by humbling ourselves, even to the point of humiliation. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? How was Jesus humiliated? why was he willing to be humiliated for us? In light of this, how might listening and empathizing come more naturally to us? As you and I can read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible 2 Chronicles chapter 7, especially verses 11 through 16, as well as Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and Philippians 2, 1 through 11, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Have you checked out our Instagram page lately? We would love to connect with you. Just search for @UnlockedDevo for almost daily updates, a good laugh every once in a while, and a peek behind the scenes of Unlocked. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be asking the question, cruelty or kindness? But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Unlocked Part 2.
Do you feel bogged down by the stress of life? What are some practical ways you can slow down and rest? Hey there, Andrew here, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I know I can't be the only one that feels like the world is just spinning faster and faster and faster, along with my head. Life gets crazy busy sometimes, and today's author wants us to think about how our relationship with God intersects with crazy busy. This one was written by Chelsea Lee and is called Slow Down. Life is busy. We are busy. We are bombarded with school, emotions, family, church, and so many responsibilities. With our commitments and schedules, it's very easy to blow through our lives without taking time to stop and appreciate the beauty that is all around us. Truly, God crafted an amazing world. God created this majestic earth for us to enjoy and appreciate. And sometimes we just plow through life without pausing to thank Him for it or to soak in the beauty. A few years ago, my mentor encouraged me to seek out the small moments and thank God for His presence in those times. She said that doing this had really helped her change her perspective on life, so I tried it. And let me tell you, it radically shifted my focus. When I'm stressed and overwhelmed by life, I try to look for small blessings. I would encourage you to do the same. It's in a quiet walk through the neighborhood or a 5-minute prayer time that God's peace and presence can sometimes be felt most strongly. Remembering the Lord's presence and talking with Him as you go throughout the day and enjoy His creation provides a reassurance that nothing else can give. Taking the time to slow down and enjoy the calm moments in our lives helps us to focus on God. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Do you feel bogged down by the stress of life? What are some practical ways you can slow down and rest? Take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. How do God's peace and presence improve your perspective? As you and I can read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, as well as Luke 10, 38 through 42, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Do you have younger siblings that might enjoy something like Unlocked, but geared just for them? If so, check out our Keys for Kids devotionals at keysforkids.org. Also, be sure to check back tomorrow because Emily is going to be discussing how God's Word has answers. But until then, I'm Andrew, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Down and
Coming up next, Bible Drama.
Hello, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. 32,000 Israelites gathered to battle against the Midian United Army. God said there were too many Israelites, so he reduced them to 300. This was done so the Israelites would realize that God led them to victory in battle. Gideon was afraid again since he only had 300 people to battle against hundreds of thousands of people in the Midian United Army. God told Gideon to take his servant Purah and secretly go down to the Midian camp. Following God's word, Gideon took his servant Purah and secretly went to the place where the Midian army was gathered.
Purah, stay close to me.
Yes.
Oh, the Midian army has set up camp over there. Hide here and look.
Ah, there are so many of them.
Yes, you're right. It seems like there are more than 100,000 of them.
Look at the camels. They are countless. The army has great military power.
How can we battle against them with only 300 people? I don't understand.
God can do anything. Since God told you to battle, you should trust God for the victory. Didn't he show you several signs?
He showed me a sign, so I've gained some confidence. However, after seeing the Midian army, I'm losing confidence again. I don't know why God told me to come here to look at the enemy troops. He said if I listen to what they say, my hand will be strengthened.
Ah, lie down. The Midian guards are coming.
Why do we have to stand guard against the Israelites? They wouldn't have the courage to attack us. Oh, last night, I had a dream, but I don't know what it means.
A dream? What kind of dream?
A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. Isn't it funny? How can a mere loaf of barley bread make a tent collapse?
Don't you know what this dream is about? The barley bread in your dream is the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, to Israelite.
What? The sword of Gideon of Israel? Who is Gideon?
You haven't heard the news? Gideon gains strength from God and will directly contend with Baal.
A person will contend with Baal? He must be a great person.
The people say that God has already given Midian and the entire army into Gideon's hand. How do you not know this?
This is terrible. What should we do?
Gideon and Purah, who heard what the Midian guards said, began to gain courage.
Gideon, did you hear that? The Midian soldiers already know your name and they are trembling.
Yes, it's true. It's a sign that God will really give them into my hand. Let's return and begin battle with the Midianites.
Gideon returned to the Israel camp and shouted loudly.
Brothers, arise! Our Lord God has given Midian and the United Army into our hands. Let's arise and get rid of Midian.
Following God's word, Gideon went to the Midian camp and heard what they said. He gained courage and began preparations for battle. How will Gideon and the 300 soldiers battle against the Midian United Army? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoice. Did you know there are 2.2 billion kids all around the world? Each one of them needs to hear about Jesus, don't you think? You can introduce the Heart and Soul app to your friends so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior.
Following is a program daily devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week we will listen to Monday through Friday's daily devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's daily devotionals.
There's all kinds of houses we live in here on earth, but Jesus is preparing a forever home for us in heaven.
That's right. Jesus made the way for us to spend eternity with Him. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. There are a ton of cool houses people live in all around the world. Like in Chile and Peru, many people live in palafitos houses. They're built over the water in lakes and lagoons, and they stand up on skinny pillars. Or you might find some palapas if you visit the Philippines. They're built with open walls and covered with dried palm branches. If you're a Christian, you'll live in a special house one day too. 1 John 14 verses 2 and 3 says, "My Father's house has many rooms, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." Our story today is called A Forever Home. "Mom," Santiago wailed, "I have to write a report tonight on how Native Americans lived long ago. I totally forgot. It was due tomorrow." "Well, start researching for your report," Mom says. "I'll fix you a snack. How about carrots and dip?" Santiago sighed. "Okay." He sat down at the computer and began to scroll through different websites. "Hey, Mom, listen to this," he said after a few minutes. "It says here that not all Native American houses were made the same." Mom nodded. "That's probably because people lived in so many different places and they didn't all have the same kind of environment or lifestyles," she replied as she scooped some dip into a bowl. "Yeah. Tribes that lived on plains, like the Blackfeet and Lakota, lived in teepees made of buffalo hides. They could just fold them up and follow the buffalo herds," Santiago said. "Algonquin people, who lived in the forest areas, had homes with rounded tops called wigwams. They were often covered with the bark of trees. And in the desert, Navajo people lived in hogans that were covered with earth." "Different kinds of houses fit their different needs," observed Mom. "Does that remind you of the kind of place Jesus said He was going to prepare for us?" "Well, now that you mention it, it does. He's fixing a place for us in His Father's house. That's heaven, isn't it?" "That's right," said Mom. "And the place He prepares will be perfect. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, He will create a new heaven and a new earth. He will get rid of sin forever and make everything new." Mom set the carrots and dip on the table. Native Americans built the right kind of house for their various needs, but earthly houses are only temporary. The home Jesus prepares for us will last forever. "In the Bible, He mentions mansions," said Santiago. "It would be cool to live in one of those." "Some translations don't use the word mansions, but the place Jesus is preparing will be a wonderful home," Mom said. She laughed, "and we won't have to make monthly payments on it." Santiago grinned, "because Jesus paid the price for us." So how about you? What's your home like? You may live in an apartment, a mobile home, or a big brick house. Maybe you have a room of your own, or you share one with a sibling. Maybe your mom and your dad live with you, or maybe not. Thank God for providing a home for you on earth. But don't forget, it's only temporary. If you know Jesus, you'll one day live in the forever home He has prepared for you. Our key verse is John 14:3. Jesus said,
"After I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. Then I will take you with me so that you can be where I am."
And our key thought, Jesus is preparing a forever home. Hey Hope, what do you think of the Keys for Kids app?
Your app is the best. I like games and TV, but your app is what I like more because it teaches me about God.
Download the Keys for Kids app by searching Keys for Kids in your app store. I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
This is a time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I kind of want to skip Bible study tonight. After all, I'm a Christian, and that's what's important, right?
You could skip, but you'd miss out on some very important truths. Hi, and welcome to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad you're listening today. My name is Zach. You know, a couple weeks ago, I went hiking with some friends from church. When we stopped for lunch, I was hoping to cut up some small branches for a fire when I realized I totally forgot my knife. When I needed it most, I didn't have it. The Bible is kind of the same way. You never know when you're going to need it. Say, when you're being tempted or when someone needs to hear about Jesus, for example. The more you study the Bible, the more you know, and that helps you to be prepared for anything. Like Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Our story today is called Batter Up. Martin squatted behind the batter and watched the ball sail toward him. As he raised his mitt to catch it, the batter swung wildly and lost his grip on the bat. It hit the bottom of Martin's mask, causing him to fall backward. Several people rushed forward to see if Martin was okay. Someone lifted the mask and he heard his mother's voice. "Are you all right, Martin?"
"I think so," Martin replied. He moved his jaw. "My chin is a little sore."
He got up and put his mask back on. "I'm fine," Martin assured everyone, and after he was checked out a little more, the game went on. After dinner the next day, Martin hesitantly approached his mother.
"Mom, can I skip my Bible study group tonight?"
"Skip Bible study?" asked Mom, looking surprised. "Why?"
"Well, I..." Martin hesitated. "It seems like I'm always doing lessons and memorizing verses. Why do I have to do that so much? I really want to see a game that's on TV tonight." He shrugged. "I'm a Christian, and that's what's really important anyway, isn't it?"
"Trusting Jesus is most important," Mom agreed. "But studying the Bible is important, too." She paused, then asked, "Remember when you got hit in the face with a bat? You don't want to quit wearing your catcher's mask now, do you?" Martin rubbed his chin, which was still a little sore.
"Of course not. But what does that have to do with Bible study?"
"The catcher's mask offers protection, and Bible study does too," said Mom. "Actually, God compares his word to a sword. It's part of the armor of God, which offers protection in your everyday life." Martin frowned, so Mom went on to explain. "As you grow up, and even now, Satan may try to get you to doubt the promises God gives us in his word. Knowing and understanding the Bible helps protect you against Satan's attacks. It reminds you that you belong to Jesus and that knowing and following him is better than anything this world has to offer. When you know the truth of God's word, you can slice through Satan's lies." Martin rubbed his chin some more as he thought about what Mom had said. "Okay," he said. "I'm on my way." So how about you? Have you wondered why it's important to read and study the Bible? Being familiar with God's word and memorizing verses lets you recall his promises when troubles or temptations come your way. They can bring comfort and peace and help you know what to say when others question you. They help protect you against Satan's lies by reminding you that you belong to Jesus. Our key verse is found in Hebrews 4:12.
"The word of God is living and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword."
And our key thought for the day, God's word gives protection. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. And if you read all summer long, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your own Bluetooth speaker. So get ready for Word with Zach now. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's Daily Devotional.
Do you think God ever gets frustrated with telling us no? I wanted to be on the baseball team, but he said no.
Nobody likes to hear no for an answer, but you have to learn to trust God. He knows what's best. Thanks for tuning in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. My name is Zach. When I was younger, I remember praying and asking God to make me really tall so that I could be a professional basketball player. God didn't answer the prayer the way I hoped, but I trusted that He knows what's best for me. Instead, God gave me something way better, a chance to talk to you every single day. 1 John 5:14 says, "If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Our story today is all about that. It's called No More Fussing. Reed watched his little brother crawl all over the living room. Titus picked up a toy, chewed on it furiously, and then threw it down. He made his way to the TV and reached out to touch the screen. "No, no," Mom said as she picked Titus up. "You need to leave the TV alone." Titus squirmed and fussed loudly. "Shh, stop fussing," said Mom. "He doesn't like to be picked up when he wants to get at something," said Reed. He smiled as his little brother wiggled this way and that, trying to get free from Mom's arms. "He sure is a busy baby." "Yes, he is," Mom agreed. When Mom put Titus down, he crawled to the TV again. "No, Titus. Mommy said no," Mom repeated. Titus squealed and kicked his legs when Mom picked him up and headed for his room. "I think it's time for a nap," she said. "I can tell you're getting tired." When Mom returned, Reed was seated on the floor looking out the window. She quietly sat down beside him. "Penny for your thoughts?" said Mom. Reed grinned. "Do you get tired of telling Titus no so often?" he asked. "Sometimes," said Mom. "But that's okay. In time, he'll learn what's allowed and what isn't." "Do you think God gets tired of telling us no?" asked Reed. "I asked him to let me play on the traveling baseball team this summer, but he said no to that." "Well, God knows what's best for us, and it doesn't always line up with what we think is best for ourselves, so he has to tell us no sometimes," Mom said. "We just have to trust him." "Yeah, but I don't really like to be told no," Reed said. "You're right," Mom said, "and Titus doesn't like it either. He fusses about it. As he grows older, he'll learn to quit fussing and accept our answers. And as we grow to know Jesus better, we should learn to accept his answers to prayer, even when they're not what we wanted." Mom smiled. "Trust him, Reed. Ask him to help you want what he wants for your life." "Okay," said Reed. He grinned. "And I'll try not to fuss when he tells me no." So how about you? How does it feel when you pray and don't get the answer that you want? Do you fuss and complain about it? Or have you learned, as the Apostle Paul did, to accept God's answers? Jesus wants you to come to him and tell him your hurts and your desires. He knows the right answer for each situation. Pray for his will to be done and trust him to give you what he knows is best. Our key verse is 1 John 5:14.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
And our key thought for the day, pray and trust God's answers. You can check out the Keys for Kids stories every single day right here on the Keys for Kids app. Just search for Keys for Kids when you go to the App Store. You can also sign up for an unlimited account and go back in time and find every story from the past, listen to music made just for you on Keys for Kids Radio, and discover more stories on demand like Down Gilead Lane. Just search your app store for the words Keys for Kids. I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
"Why, God? Why did you let my dog get hit by a car? It's not fair that she died."
"Oh, I'm so sorry that your dog died. I know you must be feeling really sad." I'm Zach, and this is Keys for Kids. If you've lost a friend or a family member or even a pet, then you know how sad it can make you feel. It's easy to blame God when bad things happen. But remember, he's not the one who makes the bad things happen. And when bad things happen, he's sad right along with you. King David wrote this in Psalm 56, verse 8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. Our story today is called Jesus Cares. Why, God? Elena whispered angrily under her breath. It's just not fair. She collapsed in a heap on her bed and began sobbing. In just a minute's time, Elena's beloved pet dog had been taken from her. Kiki had been hit by a car and killed. Elena was devastated. If Jesus loved her, why had he allowed this to happen? As Elena lay sobbing on her bed, her mom came in. Elena, I know you're upset, and my heart hurts too. But you know who else feels our sadness? Mom didn't wait for an answer. Jesus does. He cares about all our feelings, and he feels our pain. Elena's body tensed, and she could feel bitterness spring up inside of her. If Jesus really cares so much, why did he let Kiki die? He could have kept it from happening. Mom thought for a moment. Honestly, Elena, I don't know why Kiki died the way she did. Bad things happen, and sometimes we don't know why God would allow something sad or tragic into our lives. But you mustn't make the mistake of blaming God for every tragedy. We live in a sin-cursed world, but God sent his son Jesus to rescue us from sin and brokenness. Jesus became human and lived in our world, and he went through terrible things, including death, so we could be saved. He understands our feelings, he knows our hurts, and he cares. Sometimes things happen and we don't know why, but we have to trust him. Mom gave Elena a hug, and before she left, she wrote something on a slip of paper and handed it to her. After Mom walked out, Elena looked at the slip of paper. It was a Bible reference, Psalm 56, 8. Slowly, she picked up her Bible and found the verse. She began to read it aloud. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Immediately, she felt comforted. God must care a lot if he bothered to put her tears into a bottle. Even though she was still sad, the bitterness had left her spirit. She knew that Jesus cared for her, and no matter what happened, he was in control. So, how about you? Has something bad happened in your life that's made you sad and upset? Do you wonder why God would allow such a thing to happen? We don't know why he allows some things to happen, but we do know he cares about us. Remember, Jesus became human and suffered and died to save us, and he understands our feelings. So when you feel sad, go to him. He cares about you. Our key verse once again, Psalm 56, verse 8.
You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book.
And our key thought for today, Jesus cares about you. When you join the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program, you could win an Echo Dot, Kindle Fire, or Keys for Kids Storyteller. And if you read all summer long, you'll be entered for a chance to win the grand prize, your own Bluetooth speaker. Go to wordwithzach.org to activate your name. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I lied about my history test, and I told my mom I did fine. Now I feel so gross inside, and I want it to stop.
That gross feeling is the Holy Spirit telling you to do the right thing. Everyone, and welcome to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad that you're listening today. When you've done something wrong, do you ever have a guilty conscience? You might feel yucky and sad, and you might keep thinking about what you did wrong. That's God trying to tell you to confess what you did so you can make it right with whoever you hurt, even if they don't know about it. Jesus died and rose again to clean away your sin and your guilty feelings. Just pray and ask him for forgiveness. You can even use the words from Psalm 51:2, which say, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Our story today, it's called Gross Outside, Gross Inside. Lily jumped over a puddle and wrinkled her nose. She moved to the side to avoid a soggy straw wrapper someone had left on the ground. "Everything just seems so gross today," her mom smiled at her. "Sometimes when everything gets rained on, it can get a little yucky." "I just want to get an ice cream cone and go back to our freshly cleaned house," Lily said. Mom laughed. "Me too, sweetie." She pulled the restaurant door open and motioned Lily inside. "You know," she said, her face looking serious, "sometimes I feel gross inside of me." Lily stepped up to the back of the long line leading up to the counter. "What do you mean?" "When I've done something wrong I know God doesn't want me to do, it can make me feel gross," Mom replied. "Boy, am I glad that Jesus doesn't let me stay that way. He cleans me up quickly when I ask him to, just like how we cleaned the house today." Lily frowned. She wasn't quite sure what her mom meant. Later, after they were back at the house and their ice cream was gone, Lily went into her bedroom. As she sat down on the floor, she saw the piece of paper she had hidden in her closet sticking out from a stack of books, her history test. Suddenly, Lily was pretty sure she understood what her mom had been talking about earlier. She had gotten a bad grade on her test, but when her mom asked her about it, Lily said she had done fine and then hid the test so her mom wouldn't find out the truth. She felt gross inside each time she saw it, knowing that she had lied about her grade. Lily thought of the dirty puddles, the soggy straw wrapper, and the way it had felt to walk across the parking lot. "Jesus, can you clean all that up inside of me?" she asked. She went to her closet and grabbed the test. "I'm sorry, Jesus," she whispered before she headed out of her room to do the right thing. "Please forgive me and make me clean. I don't want to feel gross any longer." So what about you? Do you ever feel gross inside because of something you've done? Maybe you lied to your parents or were mean to a brother or sister. Sin can make us feel dirty inside, but if you know Jesus, you don't have to feel that way. Because he saved you from sin, when you confess your sins to him, he promises to forgive you and make you clean. Our key verse is found in the Psalms, number 51, verse 2.
"Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin."
And our key thought, Jesus cleans away sin. Have you signed up for the Word with Zach Summer Reading Program yet? When you do, you can get this year's Zach Pack. I put together some special items to help you do your reading every day. In the pack, you'll find my favorite blue fundana. You can wear it as a hat, a scarf, a headband, or any way you imagine. I've also made a brand new journal for you to write down questions and prayer requests or the things you've learned about God. And you need something to write with, right? So I came up with red, blue, orange, and green pens, and they light up like flashlights too. Check out the Zach Pack at wordwithzach.org and tap Materials in the menu. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Come to the church in the wildwood. Oh.
how much closer did you feel to Jesus today? I hope that you always remember to share these amazing stories with your family and friends. I hope and pray this experience doesn't stop here, but that you will continue to learn about Jesus' teachings by reading the Bible, praying to Jesus, and praising Him throughout the week. Well then, I'll catch you next week.